Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Jeff Haldeman, public safety reporter at the Jefferson City News Tribune. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Gary.
So we brought Jeff in today because, as of late, Jefferson City, specifically the state capitol and the governor's mansion, have become the subjects of protests regarding crime legislation that's being considered at the State House. Governor Parson called a special session that began July 27th, and its narrowly focused agenda is to pass crime legislation that targets an increase of violent crime, particularly in Missouri's metropolitan areas. On July 30th, a group of protesters came to Jefferson City to draw attention to that legislative session. So remind us, Jeff, of what happened on that July 30th and what the protesters were trying to say during the event.
Well, they had actually started from the Capitol and had come down the street towards the governor's mansion there at the intersection of Capitol and Madison. And while they were protesting, they were met by some members of the police department, also Highway Patrol, Cole County Sheriff, and I believe Capitol Police also had members there. They were asked to disperse. There was resistance laying in the streets of the protesters. Eventually, they were taken into custody. There were 8 people arrested of the group, and there was apparently some pepper balls used in the apprehension or taking into custody of individuals. They were eventually charged this week, the 8 that were arrested, with misdemeanor crimes such as peace disturbance or interfering with the process of being of an arrest, I believe is what the charges were. That also led to some local citizens coming out and saying that they were concerned about what they had heard and also seen. There had been a number of videos posted by some of the members of the group, which is known as Expect Us, and it's specifically Expect Us St. Louis STL 365 out of St. Louis. I think that's the offshoot of the national group. They have been organizing these protests to come here and voice their displeasure with Governor Parson's crime bill.
So they returned then on Thursday of this week to again protest the legislation. So unlike the previous protests where arrests were made, this one did not go that direction. So what happened at the protest this Thursday?
Well, the difference was, number one, they didn't go onto any city streets. They stayed entirely in the confines of the Capitol complex. They stayed and started on the lawn there near the intersection of, I guess it would be, Broadway and High Street. From there, eventually did go into the Capitol. They were very orderly. I mean, they did do some singing or some chants, but as they came into the Capitol, they did not do anything. They just went through the normal procedures, and the Capitol Police took them through the security measures that anybody would.
That seems like a feat in itself. I mean, how big was the group, first of all?
Approximately, they said 70 people, and I would believe that. And it was people not just from St. Louis. They said they had some people from Kansas City and Springfield. I don't know if anybody, I think there were some folks from Jefferson City that did go inside. I know that a group that has been silently protesting, not just necessarily what is going on in the Capitol, but racial injustice, that they have been gathering, of course, at the corner there at the High Street Post Office. They came out to support this group, but I'm not sure if all those members came in as well. But about 70 members, and when you go through the security, if anybody knows that, at the Capitol, that does take a little time. So I would say it probably was about 15, 20 minutes, but they went through, you know.
Orderly, went
absolutely
through, and from there, I believe your story said they went up to the top floor?
Yes, they went from the bottom floor there and went to the top floor and to the gallery of the state Senate where there was a debate going on pieces of the crime bill. And the group came in, and I'd say they stayed there and listened for about 20, maybe 30 minutes. There were times when I think they were I know they were agreeing with what was being said on the floor. It happened to be that Senator Jemima Nasheed, Democrat of St. Louis, was speaking on her displeasure with some of what was being proposed there, and instead of cheering or, say, clapping, they would snap fingers, which is a lot, is noticeable, but is not nearly as disruptive as, say, a cheer or a clap, which could obviously have the folks there be immediately escorted out.
Right. I mean, because obviously, for those who remember, the Medicaid 23 group had a very vocal protest in the Senate gallery. They were later arrested
and also
escorted out.
And eventually charged with misdemeanor peace disturbance, I believe, almost all of them.
Right.
Yes.
So when you came back yesterday, for viewers who listen, Jeff will often update us before he starts writing about the story. So where did this idea of snapping fingers, how did that come about?
I'm not sure who necessarily did it, but I know Representative Rasheen Aldridge, a Democrat of St. Louis, has been very much with the Expect Us group, and he was among the leaders of what was taking place there and is not ashamed about his displeasure with what Governor Parson is proposing and how he feels like it's just political pandering more than anything else. I think listening to him, and I'm sure they probably also may have had, you know, conversations with Senator Nasheed's office as well, how you need to conduct yourself in the Capitol and how you can at least make some sort of an effective statement without necessarily being, as we said, the vocal or, you know, disruptive, as we've seen in the past.
Right. So from that appearance in the Senate gallery, what happened after they left there?
After, it was about, I'd say, 20 or 30 minutes in, that obviously the debate on the floor was continuing. The group stood up, and they did begin to chant and started to file out. The speaker at the time, I believe, was Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, who was presiding over the floor at the time, did say, you know, clear the chamber. They were already moving out by the time you mentioned that, but they started their chance and moved on down to the rotunda at the bottom floor and continued there. And I'd say they'd stay there about another 20 to 30 minutes. They heard from, I believe, at least two mothers whose children had been killed, and we're talking about teenagers in confrontations with police in the St. Louis area, from what I understood. They also heard from Senator Nasheed. She came back off the floor and did come to talk to them and applauded them for what they were doing, saying, you know, to make change, you have to have some sort of discourse like what we're seeing right here.
Right.
Also, Representative Aldridge, I believe, readdressed the group as well. They'd stayed there in the rotunda for about another 20 to 30 minutes before they left and pretty much dispersed after that, after a small gathering back out on the Capitol lawn. That was about 3 o'clock.
All right. So, you know, much of this, these last two protests, much of the conversation has been the interaction between the protesters and authorities. So you've talked to both sides on the protest line with this. As a public safety reporter, you're regularly speaking with law enforcement from all of these agencies. What have they shared with you? What's their perspective of how these protests are going?
Night and day between what we saw the week before and what we saw yesterday. For one, I think there seemed to be more communication between those that are organizing and wanting to get some type of change, the Expect Us group, I guess, and authorities. I talked with Chief Schwartz of the Capitol Police, who told me that apparently some of the organizers had conversations with the Office of Administration about what they were wanting to do. So obviously there was some talk about what we can, what can do, how we can work together, that sort of thing, it sounded like. I believe there's also been some communication more apparently with the Jefferson City Police Department. I don't know all the details there, but it seems like they're starting to at least come together as far as, you know, hey, this is what we can do, this is what we can do.
Right.
And from what I understand, I think that was the biggest issue from the last time. Nobody really, you know, obviously with the protesters, there was communication about, at least among them, about we're going to come up here and we're going to, you know, protest. And I think that there must have been some, you know, word among law enforcement that they had seen or heard that something was going to happen. But neither side was talking to each other.
Right.
And apparently that's the difference between the incidents, because this time it just was, I think there was some expectation among the protesters that they could very well be facing arrest, obviously with the announcement just the day before that Prosecutor Locke Thompson had filed those misdemeanor charges against the 8 that were arrested the week before. So they were thinking that that was a possibility. But I think they were able to, it sounds like, get some communication lines open with authorities and with those that are in charge of facilities there at the Capitol about what they hope to accomplish, and it worked, it seemed like.
Yeah. You know, it strikes me, especially if you're on social media any amount of time today, that there's a tendency to paint the picture of extremes there, that the protesters will basically destroy everything in their path. Conversely, police or law enforcement have no respect for the rights of the protesters. But it strikes me, especially in Jefferson City, that is not the case. That, for instance, the police respect and protect that right of free speech.
Well, I think the biggest, you know, example of that was our major racial protests, if you will, that happened earlier this year. And if you remember there, authorities did credit the organizers with contacting them, talking about things, and so forth. You know, there were things like the marching down the street. That was probably not the most wise thing, I guess, because you didn't necessarily have the permit. But at least they knew that they were on the same, if you will, page about
right.
what they wanted to do.
Right.
Other than that, I think, you know, they felt like, you know, for what they had to deal with, everybody kept it as low and calm as possible.
Yeah.
And I wanted to refer back, you know, in talking to Representative Aldridge afterwards, when I had said, well, it was, you know, a peaceful protest. And he said, we're always nonviolent. We don't say peaceful because we are angry and upset, but today this was definitely nonviolent. And he said, that's what we work towards. But I think it's key to talk there that he says peaceful protest he doesn't necessarily agree with, because they remain very adamant that what is being talked about down at the Capitol has nothing to do with the long-term solutions that need to be, you know, addressed in those communities in St. Louis, in Kansas City, Springfield, and many places, right, even here in Jefferson City.
So let's talk about that just a little bit. So from the perspective of what the Senate bill is looking at, it looks at cracking down on crime. So for instance, one of the elements of this crime package would be to determine if a juvenile should be tried as an adult for unlawful use of a weapon and armed criminal action. Some of those who oppose this say that it could be kids as young as 12
that
would fall under this. Again, it's a very hard approach to control crime. What are the protesters suggesting is a more effective way of attacking crime in St. Louis or Kansas City?
And the reason that that's been brought out so much is that is pretty much the main point that they've been talking about. I mean, it's not the only point, but that seems to be the one that comes out more and more. I think they're fearful that the younger generation, that teenage generation, which we've even seen here in our own community, has, you know, been so much involved in violent crime, shootings, murders. I mean, many of the murders here in Jefferson City, Cole County, you know, as young as 16. And obviously you're seeing those in the cities as well. And they're just afraid that that's going to, you know, if you dealing with crimes with younger people, just if you put them in that prison situation, that's just, it's the cycle.
It's a life sentence.
Exactly. Matter of fact, I want to say Senator Nasheed brought up the point that one of her family members was not a murderer or that sort of thing, but I think it was a burglary case. Had actually, and this was in the St. Louis area, she said, I believe, had been sentenced to as many as 30 years when he was a teenager.
Wow.
And he served the majority of that time and, you know, lost most of his, early life because he was serving time.
Right. So, again, I'll circle back. So, if the goal is, whichever side of the protest line you're on, if the goal is you want to have a safer community, less violent crime, what are those who are protesting suggesting the legislative session should have been focused on?
I would say there have been talks about defunding police. I won't, because that's, I think there's members that would like to see that happen among the protesters.
Right.
But I would say one of the things they talk about is, you know, give us an opportunity. I hear about better medical care. I also heard about better access to better education opportunities. Just like any other community would want.
Right.
We're not any different. We want the same type of things, and that's where we feel like, you know, long-term solutions can be made by giving them an opportunity to have access to health care, have access to education, to help them find, you know, some sort of way to improve themselves.
So the organizers of the protests are going to be returning next week, right?
That's what they plan on, yes.
So do you have a sense of how it's going to be going next week?
Well, hopefully as well as what we saw this past Thursday. They are asking that those that came, you know, continue to talk with their friends and continue to spread the word that they're still wanting to push for, you know, change that's much better than what they're seeing now. I think that it seems like communication lines, at least this time, as I said before, were open between the folks that oversee the operations of the Capitol grounds, the folks that are involved with law enforcement. Hopefully that continues. Whether it stays down there at the Capitol this time or not, I don't know. But I think I got the feeling, especially if the representative was going to be involved as much as he has been, and if Senator Nasheed's office is possibly involved with that as well, I think it will stay there. Because that's where it's, well, as they would say, it's where it's at.
Right, right. You know, one of the things that, as you mentioned that, it strikes me. I was looking at the video that you had posted of the protest, and the Senate chambers were pretty much barren, I mean, mm-hmm. with COVID and whatnot. Do you have a sense that the protesters are able to really speak to other legislators?
Well, I think there's other, and especially members of the minority caucus or the black caucus, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're having at least some behind-the-scenes talks with them. There was no, you know, yesterday was an event, and I don't think there was any real plan to actually go to a person's office. No,
and, yeah.
No, not like that. I think they're thinking that the change has to come because, well, as the representative said, you know, we are angry and upset.
Yeah.
And these are not folks that normally come to a Capitol and, as you would say, you know, pander to the
right.
to the lawmakers, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
They're fed up.
Okay. Well, stay tuned this next week. We'll see how that protest goes. And Jeff, we thank you for your coverage of public safety and in Jefferson City.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.